Hey, it's Drex from This Week Health Cyber and Risk Community, and I want to invite you to our next webinar. It's going to focus on what else? Defending health data. I'll be chatting with experts from Rubrik and Microsoft. Register right now at thisweekhealth.com/rubrikwebinar. That's all one string, R-U-B-R-I-K webinar, thisweekhealth.com/rubrikwebinar. See you online soon.
My name is Bill Russell. I'm a former CIO for a 16-hospital system and creator of This Week Health, where we are dedicated to transforming healthcare one connection at a time. Now, let's jump right into the episode.
All right, here we are from Vive 2024 in LA. We have Stacy Johnston, Chief Application Officer with Baptist Jacksonville. And we'll come back to you in a minute. Colin Banas, Chief Medical Officer with Doctor First. We're going to talk medical reconciliation. We're going to talk a lot of different things. Stacy, first of all, congratulations. 10 stars on the Epic implementation.
Yeah.
You're still standing. You look healthy. That's an amazing accomplishment. How did you guys accomplish that?
So honestly, I couldn't have done it without the team that we had. We just built a rock star team. Everyone from our application analyst, the directors we brought in, and then we had a significant amount of operational involvement. We had over 1,100 team members participate in the work groups, participate in the build. 300 physicians were partaking in the build. They participated in all the work groups. So we had significant amount of operational involvement and just this, it was great collaboration across IT, revenue cycle, clinical operations, and just everyone came together to build the systems.
How did you get that? I think is what people want to know. It's like, because it's unheard of to go 10 stars that quickly.
I think it was, again, just making sure people knew the why. Why is this important? Why should you participate? And there's an ongoing joke that if I ask you to do something, it's pretty hard to resist. And so anyway, so I've been pretty lucky in having people sign up and participate in the build. And even post-live, calling upon people to help with the post-live optimization and saying, let's get together. Let's figure out where you need improvement.
Yeah, and I don't want to paint a picture that it's easy, because even post-live now, you probably have a fair amount of optimization to do and things to clean up, I would imagine.
Yeah, I mean, it's just every day we meet with the end users and say, what are you struggling with? I have incorporated some rounding into the application analyst team, and we round with clinical informatics, training, and the clinical folks. And so the application analysts are going and they're meeting at the bedside and meeting with the physicians and the nurses and the pharmacists. And I think that's really helped understand what the actual workflows are. And then that way we can build to meet their needs better.
All right, so we're gonna talk the clinician experience today. And specifically, we're gonna talk about MedRec. Colin, I wanna come to you and talk about the problem set. What kind of problem are we trying to solve for the clinician and making their life a little easier?
Yeah, 20 years later, we're still talking about med reconciliation, which is crazy. So we still haven't gotten it right because it's a complex problem. I usually distill it down into two big buckets as to why med rec is so complicated still. One, despite years of interoperability and digitization, we still don't have all the records. There's still gaps in the medication history that we receive on behalf of our patients. And so how can we fill those gaps in? A lot of times it's phone calls and extra interviews and things like that, because not all of the pharmacies are connected, not all of that data is flowing. The second problem is that even when we get that data, access to that data coming into our system, we still as an industry have a semantic interoperability problem. The data isn't always usable right off the bat. So that means someone is gonna have to take that data and then manually transcribe it back into the system. And so, two things, lack of data or missing pieces of data, and then having to re-input this data manually is a recipe for disaster, really. MedRec is so important because when you get it wrong, people get hurt, bar none.
Yeah, and we're gonna do a first on the show. We're actually gonna do a demo. For those who aren't watching it, I'm gonna get to do the first play-by-play. I'm gonna be Jim Dance here, and Colin's gonna describe it. But Stacy, I wanna come to you first.
Sure.
What kind of problems specifically do you look to Dr. First to solve for your clinicians?
Yeah, so when we first started engaging with Dr. First, it was actually in our Cerner days. And what we were finding was, to the first point that Dr. Banas was describing, we couldn't find all of the medications in the medication history. So when we were sending out these queries to your big pharmacies, your Walgreens, your CVS, we were getting back a certain percentage of our queries. But we were finding that the smaller mom and pop shops, some of the DoD pharmacies weren't on this network. And so we had, there could be some important medications that were prescribed at these other pharmacies, and we were not able to pull that into the medication history. And so I engaged with Dr. First to say, hey, looking to expand our query search. And so we started to actually look at building it into Cerner, but we thought, you know what, we're moving to Epic, let's focus on our Epic implementation. And really, what can we do with the Epic implementation? And I want to take medication history to the next step. So then we also realized the gap in the workflow was this manual process, and that they're called SIGs in the pharmacy world, but these SIGs are going and coming back from the pharmacy, and it would say one tablet twice daily for 30 days, right? But a lot of times that information was coming back, the semantics wasn't mapping directly. And so you'd actually have to do manual entry and type in one tablet twice daily for 30 days. And so that was having to fall on our nurses and our pharmacy techs that do the medication history in the inpatient space. So we thought,
those techs were actually doing the manual entry.
Yes, so they were literally typing in one tablet, or clicking
drop
on
down.
The box.
Right.
Yeah, like the little discrete.
Sometimes drop downs take longer than just typing it in.
Yes, exactly. So they were doing the drop downs, and so a lot of manual entry, a lot of clicks happening. And so I thought, let's go live with not just the additional search queries, but let's go live with that AI component.
Yes.
And so we call it smart processor. So basically, it looks to pull in these additional queries from all these other external sources, but then it maps it into these discrete fields. It actually, sometimes there's fields that are blank. So if it's saying one tablet and it's raised daily, they might not fill in a quantity of 30 tabs, but you can infer that, or 60 tabs, but you can infer that in that 1 month period of time, it should be 60 tablets. And so the smart processor does that inferring, and it actually maps it to these discrete fields. So it fills in the one tablet twice daily with 60 tabs so that the nurses or pharmacy techs aren't having to do that manual entry, plus that additional search to these other external pharmacies, these mom and pop shops, and the Department of Defense pharmacies. And so we did some studies that at the 7 month go live, we did some studies with Dr. Kirst. We had found that in that 7 months, we had received an additional 23,000 medications that would not have been inputted into our system without Dr. First. And we did a time and motion study, and it saved us 7 million clicks. So 7 million clicks received in 7 months after go live of time saved for our nurses.
So we're going to demonstrate that. So a lot of people, you walk by these booths and it's AI. I mean, everywhere is AI.
Yeah.
We're actually going to demonstrate it. So yeah. I'm looking forward to this. Colin, take it away. Here we are from beautiful LA.
So this is actually a mock-up game that really, within 1 minute, I can explain the power of the Dr. First, not only the additional data, but actually the ability to turn that data into structure and semantically interoperable. So we created MedEntry Dash, and here's what Stacey's referring to. PharmTech is getting access to external data, but needs to put it back into the system prior to MedReg. So we have three meds I'm going to add to the med list here prior to reconciliation. So it's saying, one, take 1 to 2 taps by mouth 4 times daily as needed, but none of that data flowed into the fields. So on the PharmTech, I got to type all of this back in, or I got to drop down. So capsule, by mouth, daily, second drug, one, patch. I now remember that's transdermal, and every 72 hours, submit. So for those three drugs, it took me almost a minute, 28 clicks.
And we didn't even count. Oh, it was 28 clicks.
28 clicks and
wow.
5 keystrokes we have in the input. So with clinical grade AI in our Fusion platform in Epic, this becomes lightning fast. So if you see that right there, it all populated. And Epic, these are little yellow yield signs that they're getting rid of. So looks good. All I'm doing is verifying before I commit it to the database. And even with me talking, it was probably sub 10 seconds if I hadn't given you the play-by-play. But so, you know, just for three meds, I've saved almost a minute. I've saved 75% of the keystrokes as well. So I've given the clinician more data, but I've made that data usable. And so that's time, that's energy, that's cognitive load that they're getting back.
So here are my questions. What were the numbers you saved in 7 months?
7 million.
7 million clicks. That's amazing. Are you getting the additional information from the DOD and these smaller pharmacies?
Yeah, so The power of the additional data is that I think everyone on the show who listens to the show is probably familiar with the external medication history feed that's typically available through someone like Surescripts. And that's a lot of financial claims transactions. That's PBM data, adjudicated claims, et cetera. The problem is a lot of times people use cash, they use coupons, they go and pick these drugs up at places that might not participate as robustly, and that data is missing. Dr. First has been e-prescribing space for almost 25 years. Over those two decades, we've made a lot of relationships with a lot of pharmacies, a lot of pharmacy dispense software systems. So actually, one of the first things we do when we go live with a partner is we find out, where are all your prescriptions going? Give us the outbound query, 6 months worth of scripts, so I can tell where your providers are sending those scripts. And then we cross-reference that against the database of these connections to these local mom-and-pop pharmacy dispense systems. We start flipping switches. We say, oh, start bringing that data. If we don't have the connection, we'll actually go out and try to make the connection on behalf of the hospital or health system. The pharmacy, it's no charge to anyone involved. The pharmacies love it because they're getting fewer phone calls to clarify things, and the health systems love it because they're getting more data. So we're taking a traditional medication history feed and we're augmenting all of these other sources on top of it. So that's why I can feel confident saying we have the most robust medication history in the industry.
The word augmenting, I think, is the key. This is why I think the clinicians like it. It's coming alongside a clinician and making it more effective. I heard Satya Nadella at Microsoft talking about this, and he said, perfect machine is one that comes alongside us and helps us, doesn't take our role, but just helps us. And taking away 7 million clicks, imagine they're pretty happy with that.
Yeah, and it's like they almost don't know it. But if I put those clicks back, I'm sure I'd be getting a phone call from them. So yeah. A lot of what we do in IT is really behind the scenes, and we went live with this, and so it's hard for them to know what we're doing for them. But on the physician side, in the ambulatory space, we did go live without the smart module, and we were getting calls from docs and saying, it's really hard to refill prescriptions right now. We are having to do all these manual entries. So of course I called Dr. Person and said, okay, what can you help us with? They said, well, we actually have a new product. Would you be interested in working with us and develop coming together? And I said, of course, sign me up. So we actually are live on Smart Renewal, and it's doing the same thing. So all these fields are being filled in. And so without the Smart Renewal, we were at about 60% of the fields being filled in from this external history. We are now at 95% of all fields being filled in for our physicians, so they are the ones that are definitely feeling it. Like, they can see the difference of before Dr. First coming in and afterwards. And so, I mean, are they calling me and thanking me? Probably not, but I think they are definitely at the time back and the time saved. So I'm not getting any calls anymore about how long it takes for them to do a refill request.
IT is the best supporting actor, but yeah, I would imagine it will show up in the overall physician satisfaction scores at the end of the year. They'll say, this has gotten a lot better.
Right. And so we do, so at Baptist, as I mentioned, we do some very integrated rounds, but we have also been going out and doing listening sessions led by physicians. So the CMO is there, the VPMA is there, I'm there, the CMIO is there. So we have all these physicians going out to physician groups, both employed and not employed. And the ongoing joke is that they thought Epic would be a major topic of conversation. And so I've been kind of sitting in the corner just listening. And so, again, it's where we were a year ago post-live and where we are now. The physicians love it, and they love Epic, and they really feel like we've been trying to bring in the right partners. We've been trying to use AI. We've been trying to really optimize the system as best as possible to make that end user experience as much as integrated and as easy as possible.
Last word goes to you, Colin. So we talked a lot about Epic.
Yeah.
I assume this can be utilized in the other platform. Let's not forget there are other platforms.
Yeah, well, this same technology, one of the key things is that this is native. That's why users don't necessarily recognize that some external force is improving things. It's all under the covers, but we do this in Epic, we do it in Cernal, Meditech, Allscripts, and of course, Dr. First has integrated lots of their technology in multiple EHRs, not just the big ones. So we actually have plays and integrations in over 270 different EHRs.
Wow. Did you know there's 270 different EHRs?
I'm learning that right now.
Isn't that crazy?
I did, because in Southern California, I had to connect to, like, it felt like all of them.
Yeah.
It's like every physician practice had their own. Well, I want to thank you, Stacey. Great job.
You.
And thank you. Great job to the team at Baptist Jacksonville.
Yeah.
And Colin, always a pleasure.
Yep.
Thanks for listening. If you found value, share it with a peer. It's a great chance to discuss and in some cases start a mentoring relationship. One way you can support the show is to subscribe and leave us a rating. Love it if you could do that. Thanks for listening. That's all for now.